Volume 48, Number 5 of the New Era magazine for May 2018.
April 2018, General Conference. Anticipation and Revelation. There was no shortage of excitement or anticipation surrounding this General Conference. After all, it's not every conference that we have the chance to sustain a new president of the church in a solemn assembly, or to sustain two new apostles, or to sustain a new young woman general presidency, or to learn about new ways to better care for each other, or to have groups of priesthood holders combined into one quorum in our wards and branches. But this time we did. In this special section of the New Era, you'll find some of the highlights from conference messages, and you'll see what other youth felt and wrote in their conference notes.
Contents. General Conference Highlights. Messages from President Nelson. Messages from President Oakes. Messages from President Eyring. Messages from the 12. Questions and answers. Learn of me. Themes you noticed. Take note of the Book of Mormon. Oh, so inspired. Messages for you. Games and activities. News from General Conference. Poster. Features. Mormonads. Giving my worries to God. A cowboy's conversion. 5 turnarounds from the scriptures. Plus questions and answers. Life preparation. Who knew? Firm foundations. For the strength of youth. First Presidency Poster. End of Contents. Read by Charlene Stewart.
Q&A. Find answers to your questions. Where I live, there are very few people I could date who have my standards. What should I do? Note. Responses are intended for help and perspective, not as official pronouncements of church doctrine. Don't feel pressure to date, especially one-on-one, and especially if there aren't people around you who have high moral standards and in whose company you can maintain your standards. For the Strength of Youth, 2011, page 4. Dating is just one way to get to know members of the opposite sex. You can look for healthy, wholesome ways to make friends who will help you maintain high moral standards.
Responses from New Era readers. Are they respectful of my standards? I live in an area where there are few youth members of the church. So when I do choose to date those who do not share my beliefs, I take time beforehand to consider how respectful they would be of my standards. Dating can be a great experience to share values with a non-member. But you may want to ask yourself, is this person respectful enough of me to support my standards while on a date? Emily N., 17, Colorado, USA.
Get to know different people. I live in an area where there are not a lot of people who share my standards. So instead of going on lots of dates, I just try to get to know a lot of different people and be friendly to everyone I meet. Catherine K., 17, Illinois, USA.
Group date. In high school, the purpose of dating is to get to know people and have fun. There are a lot of good people out there who are not members of the church but still have high moral standards of their own and will support you in keeping yours. When going on dates with them, clearly define what the date will be and go with a group so you do not get into a bad situation. Some good activities include having a game night, going rock climbing or hiking, and cooking a meal together. Luke B., age 15, Oregon, USA.
Don't rush into dating. It is better to wait to date than to date people who would have a bad influence on you. If a good opportunity comes up, then that's great. There is no need to rush into dating. In the meantime, make good friends and follow worthwhile goals. Not only is having goals attractive, but it will also help you be happy while waiting, which is also attractive. Megan J., 21, Utah, USA.
Follow the standards. Follow the standards in For the Strength of Youth. They are not just suggestions we follow some of the time. They are there to protect us. God gives us rules because He loves us and asks that we follow them. Keeley S. 16, Washington, USA.
How do you know if you're ready for the second coming? We don't know when Jesus Christ will come again, but we've been told by Him, as well as ancient and modern prophets and apostles, what to focus on as we prepare. For example, the hour and the day no man knoweth, neither the angels in heaven, nor shall they know until He comes. Wherefore I, the Lord, will that all men shall repent. Doctrine and Covenants, section 49, verses 7 through 8. They that are wise and have received the truth, and have taken the Holy Spirit for their guide, and have not been deceived, verily I say unto you, they shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire, but shall abide the day. Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, verse 57. What if the day of His coming were tomorrow? What confessions would we make? What practices would we discontinue? What accounts would we settle? What forgivenesses would we extend? What testimonies would we bear? If we would do those things then, why not now? Why not seek peace while peace can be obtained? President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency, April 2004 General Conference. When Christ comes, the members of His church must look and act like members of His church are supposed to look and act if we are to be acceptable to Him. We must be doing His work, and we must be living His teachings. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Preparing for the Second Coming, New Era, December 2013, page 4. Tell us what you think. How can my patriarchal blessing help me make decisions? Send your answer and photo by June 15th, 2018. End of Q&A.
We thank Thee, O God, for a prophet. We sustained President Nelson as prophet, seer, and revelator in the solemn assembly held on March 31st, 2018. We thank Thee, O God, for a prophet to guide us in these latter days. President Russell M. Nelson. General Priesthood Session, Ministering with the Power and Authority of God. I have learned that it really doesn't matter where one serves. What the Lord cares about is how one serves. I invite you to inspire members to keep their covenants, fast and pray, study the Scriptures, worship in the temple, and serve with faith as men and women of God. Sunday Morning Session, Revelation for the Church, Revelation for Our Lives. Through the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, the Lord will assist us in all our righteous pursuits. If we will truly receive the Holy Ghost and learn to discern and understand His promptings, we will be guided in matters large and small. The heavens are open, and God speaks to His children. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ about your concerns, your fears, your weaknesses, yes, the very longings of your heart. And then listen. Write the thoughts that come to your mind. Record your feelings and follow through with actions that you are prompted to take. As you repeat this process day after day, month after month, year after year, you will grow into the principle of revelation. No one can ever take away a witness born to your heart and mind about what is true. Nothing opens the heavens quite like the combination of increased purity, exact obedience, earnest seeking, daily feasting on the words of Christ in the Book of Mormon, and regular time committed to temple and family history work. In coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without the guiding, directing, and comforting influence of the Holy Ghost. I plead with you to increase your spiritual capacity to receive revelation. choose to do the spiritual work required to enjoy the gift of the Holy Ghost and hear the voice of the Spirit more frequently and more clearly. Sunday afternoon session. Let us all press on. I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months. Conscientiously look for ways to incorporate these messages in your family home evenings, your gospel teaching, your conversations with family and friends, and even your discussions with those not of our faith. Many good people will respond to the truths taught in this conference when offered in love, and your desire to obey will be enhanced as you remember and reflect upon what you have felt these past 2 days. Our message to the world is simple and sincere. We invite all of God's children on both sides of the veil to come unto their Savior, receive the blessings of the Holy Temple, have enduring joy, and qualify for eternal life. I bless you to identify those things you can set aside so you can spend more time in the temple. I bless you with greater harmony and love in your homes and a deeper desire to care for your eternal family relationships. I bless you with increased faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and a greater ability to follow Him and His true disciples.
President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency. General Priesthood Session. The Powers of the Priesthood. The Melchizedek Priesthood is the divine authority God has delegated to accomplish His work to bring to pass the eternal life of man. It is sacred and powerful beyond our powers to describe. The Melchizedek Priesthood is not a status or a label. It is a divine power held in trust to use for the benefit of God's work for His children. We should always remember that men who hold the priesthood are not the priesthood. The most important principle for all priesthood holders is the principle taught by the Book of Mormon prophet Jacob. After he and his brother Joseph were consecrated priests and teachers of the people, he declared, "And we did magnify our office unto the Lord, taking upon us the responsibility, answering the sins of the people upon our own heads, if we did not teach them the word of God with all diligence." Brethren, our responsibilities as holders of the priesthood are serious matters. Other organizations can be satisfied with worldly standards of performance in delivering their messages and performing their other functions. But we who hold the priesthood of God have the divine power that even governs entrance into the celestial kingdom of God. If the Lord Himself were to ask you to help one of His sons or daughters, which He has done through His servants, would you do it? And if you did, would you act as His agent on the Lord's errand, relying on His promised help? President Harold B. Lee gave this promise, "Vested in the power of the priesthood, which is the power of Almighty God, is the power to perform miracles if the Lord wills it so." But in order for us to use that priesthood, we must be worthy to exercise it. A failure to understand this principle is a failure to receive the blessings of holding that great priesthood. Saturday afternoon session. Small and simple things. We are taught many small and simple things in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded that in total and over a significant period of time, these seemingly small things bring to pass great things. Consider scripture study, or consider personal prayers and kneeling family prayers. Consider attendance at seminary. Though each of these practices may seem to be small and simple, over time they result in powerful spiritual uplift and growth. Our own inspired self-evaluations can help us see how we have fallen short and how we can do better. To protect against the cumulative negative effects that are destructive to our spiritual progress, we need to follow the spiritual pattern of small and simple things.
President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. General Priesthood Session. Inspired Ministering. Strengthened quorums require at least two things to be successful in the Lord's intent to have His saints care for each other in the way He cares for them. They succeed when the saints feel the love of Christ for each other above their self-interests. The Scriptures call it charity, the pure love of Christ, Moroni chapter 7, verse 47. And they succeed when the Holy Ghost guides the caregiver to know what the Lord knows is best for the person whom he is trying to help. We receive the Holy Spirit best when we are focused on serving others. This is why we have the priesthood responsibility to serve for the Savior. When we are engaged in service to others, we think less about ourselves, and the Holy Ghost can more readily come to us and help us in our lifelong quest to have the gift of charity bestowed upon us. Sunday Morning Session. His Spirit to be with you. My hope today is to increase your desire and your ability to receive the Holy Ghost. Remember, He is the third member of the Godhead. The Father and the Son are resurrected beings. The Holy Ghost is a person of spirit. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 22. It is your choice whether to receive Him and welcome Him into your heart and mind. More precious than memory of events is the memory of the Holy Ghost touching our hearts and His continuing affirmation of truth. More precious than seeing with our eyes or remembering words spoken and read is recalling the feelings that accompanied the quiet voice of the Spirit. Rarely I have felt it exactly as the travelers on the road to Emmaus did, as a soft burning in the heart. More often, it is a feeling of light and quiet assurance. Our obligation is to choose to open our hearts to receive the ministration of the Spirit over a lifetime. Great ministers have qualified for the Holy Ghost as a nearly constant companion, and they have qualified for the gift of charity, which is the pure love of Christ. I bear my personal witness that the Father is at this moment aware of you, your feelings, and the spiritual and temporal needs of everyone around you. I bear testimony that the Father and the Son are sending the Holy Ghost to all who have that gift, ask for that blessing, and seek to be worthy of it.
End of the article, We Thank Thee, O God, for a Prophet. Read by Casey Wayman, Van Farnworth, and Dwayne Case.
Messages from the 12. The members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles shared powerful messages. What did you learn? What were you inspired to do? President M. Russell Ballard. Life can be filled with faith, joy, happiness, hope, and love when we exercise the smallest amount of real faith in Christ. Elder Quentin L. Cook. Pursuing divinely appointed responsibilities in righteousness, unity, and equality will prepare us to meet God. Elder Gary E. Stevenson. We can rejoice that the Lord's prophet is in place and that the Lord's work is being done in the way that He has divinely prescribed. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland. Our prayer today is that every man and woman will leave this general conference more deeply committed to heartfelt care for one another. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Those who find a way to truly behold the man find the doorway that life's greatest joys and the balm of life's most demanding despairs. Elder David A. Bednar. And is distinguished by righteous responsiveness, willing submissiveness, and strong self-restraint. Elder D. Todd Christofferson. Having one Melchizedek priesthood quorum in a ward unifies priesthood holders to accomplish all aspects of the work of salvation. Elder Neil L. Anderson. A prophet does not stand between you and the Savior. Rather, he stands beside you and points the way to the Savior. Elder Ronald A. Rasband, what a joy it will be for all Melchizedek priesthood holders to have the blessing of teaching, learning, and serving shoulder to shoulder. Elder Dale G. Renland, when we gather our family histories and go to the temple on behalf of our ancestors, God fulfills promised blessings simultaneously on both sides of the veil. Elder Garrett W. Gong, this is Easter Sunday. I reverently witness and solemnly testify of the living Christ, He who died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Elder Ulysses Suarez, having prophets is a sign of God's love for His children. They make known the promises and the true nature of God and of Jesus Christ. End of Messages from the 12, read by Van Farnworth.
Five ways to learn from General Conference. 1. Write down your questions before General Conference starts. 2. Seek to learn of Christ. 3. Watch for themes. 4. Take note of the Book of Mormon. 5. Be motivated and inspired to act.
These are some questions that youth frequently ask that were also addressed by church leaders in General Conference. As you study General Conference talks, look for answers to questions you may have. For full text of conference messages, go to conference.lds.org.
Question: how can I be guided by the Holy Ghost?
Answer: be obedient. Commit to act. Seek guidance in good times and bad. Elder Larry Y. Wilson. Be humble. Pray with faith. Obey exactly. Pray to know the needs and hearts of others. See President Henry B. Eyring, His Spirit to be with you. Seek personal revelation on questions. Know that God wants to speak to you. Be pure. Be obedient. Study the Scriptures daily. Do temple and family history work regularly. Be patient. See President Russell M. Nelson, Revelation for the Church, Revelation for Our Lives.
Question: I don't always feel like I belong in church. How can I feel more unity with others?
Answer: as we draw closer to the Savior, as we seek to receive a personal witness through the Holy Ghost of His divine mission, we will have a better understanding of our purpose. The love of God will dwell in our hearts. We will have the determination to be one in our families, wards, and communities. And we will minister to each other. Sister Reina I. Aburto. The Savior declared, "If ye are not one, ye are not mine." We know that the spirit of contention is of the devil. In our day, the spiritual imperative for unity is largely ignored, and for many people the emphasis is on tribalism. In the Lord's Church, the only culture we adhere to and teach is the culture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The unity we seek is to be unified with the Savior and His teachings. Elder Quentin L. Cook.
A strong answer. General Conference always helps me to resolve my questions. This one has been especially important because I was seeking to know if I will be helpful to the people where I'm going to serve my mission. I received a strong answer right to my heart when President Nelson said, "It really doesn't matter where one serves. What the Lord cares about is how one serves." I will always be helpful if I serve in the Lord's way. I know that because of the Savior, there is nothing we can't do. I know that He lives, and I can't wait to share this amazing and perfect gospel with others. Lara A., 19, East Sussex, United Kingdom. My hobbies: I love to read, listen to music, sing, and play the violin. I love my family and spending time with them.
Question: I keep making mistakes. I feel like I'm reaching my limit. Can I still be forgiven?
Answer: we need to continue getting up each time we fall, with a desire to keep growing and progressing despite our weaknesses. In our weakness, the Savior reassures us, "My grace is sufficient." Elder Lynn G. Robbins.
2. Learn of me. What did you learn about Jesus Christ as you listened to the speakers at General Conference? Think about what they taught about the Savior. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Acts 10:43. Prophets testify and teach about the Savior. President Russell M. Nelson said, "In this, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we worship him who commenced his infinite atonement in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was willing to suffer for the sins and weaknesses of each of us, which suffering caused him to bleed at every pore. He was crucified on Calvary's cross and rose the third day as the first resurrected being of our Heavenly Father's children. I love him and testify that he lives. It is he who leads and guides his church. Without our Redeemer's infinite atonement, not one of us would have hope of ever returning to our Heavenly Father. Without his resurrection, death would be the end. Our Savior's atonement made eternal life a possibility and immortality a reality for all." Elder Ulysses Suarez of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles said, "I solemnly testify that Jesus Christ is risen. He lives, and he directs his church on earth through his prophets, seers, and revelators. I testify that he is the Savior and Redeemer of the world, and that through him we can be saved and exalted in the presence of our dear God. I love him. I adore him. I want to follow him and do his will and become more like him." Elder Taylor G. Godoy of the 70 said, "What is the value of even a beloved gold bracelet compared to the sacrifice of the very Son of God? How can we honor that infinite sacrifice? If we will offer to the Lord the sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, immediately the blessings of the great plan of happiness are manifest in our lives." A few talks about the Savior. President Russell M. Nelson, Revelation for the Church, Revelation for Our Lives. President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency, His Spirit to Be With You. President M. Russell Ballard, President of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Precious Gifts from God. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Behold the Man. Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Meek and Lowly of Heart. Elder Larry J. Echo Hawk of the 70, Even as Christ forgives you, so also do ye.
Relief and peace. Starting high school this year was difficult and stressful. But when I turned to General Conference, I was blessed with relief and peace. I know the Lord answers our prayers and comforts us because he loves us. God sent his only begotten Son because of his pure love for his children. Jesus Christ paid the price for all of our sins. It's amazing to think of the sacrifices he made, and even more amazing to hear the song, "He is Risen." I know Jesus Christ suffered and died for me, and I know he lives and loves me. Anna A., 15, Mississippi, USA. My hobbies. I love drawing, singing, I'm in a show choir, taking pictures, and hanging out with my friends.
President Russell M. Nelson said, "Our Savior's atonement made eternal life a possibility and immortality a reality for all."
Pure love. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about pure love. Because of pure love, our Heavenly Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to save us all. Through pure love, Jesus Christ made the atonement possible. And because of his pure love for us, he paid for sins he hadn't committed. I learned that the only way we can be disciples of Christ is through pure love. I know that I am a daughter of God, that he loves me, and I love him. Michelle G., 18, Guatemala City, Guatemala. My hobbies. I love reading, scrapbooking, playing sports, taking pictures, drawing, painting, traveling, cooking, and watching the stars.
3. Watch for themes. Here are a couple of themes we noticed in General Conference. Which themes stood out to you? What kinds of repeated messages made an impression on you? Theme, Easter. Mentions. Remember that Christ is supreme and a precious gift to us from the Father. See President M. Russell Ballard, Precious Gifts from God. Jesus gave the ultimate example of meekness as he suffered in Gethsemane. See Elder David A. Bednar, Meek and Lowly of Heart. We may endure triumphantly because of Christ's atonement. See Elder Claudio D. Zivic, He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus Christ gives us hope in his triumph over otherwise certain defeat. See Elder Larry Y. Wilson, Take the Holy Spirit as your guide. What they said. This Easter Sabbath I joyfully sing Alleluia. The song of our risen Savior's redeeming love celebrates the harmony of covenants that connects us to God and to each other, and the atonement of Jesus Christ that helps us put off the natural man and woman and yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Elder Garrett W. Gong. The most important day in the history of mankind was the day when Jesus Christ won the victory over death and sin for all of God's children. And the most important day in your life and mine is the day when we see him for who he truly is, when we partake with all our heart and mind of his atoning power, when with renewed enthusiasm and strength we commit to follow him. May that be a day that recurs over and over again throughout our lives. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Theme, Ministering. Mentions. Ministering is a way we can assist God with answering prayers, providing comfort, drying tears, and exalting souls. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, be with and strengthen them. We will understand the life and ministry of Christ as we serve and minister to others. See President M. Russell Ballard, Precious Gifts from God. Miracles happen when we unite to reach out to others. See Sister Reina I. Aburto, with One Accord. Service is an expression of love. Pure love is the true sign of every true disciple of Jesus Christ. See Elder Massimo De Feo, Pure Love, the sign of every true disciple.
Mercy through his sacrifice. When we forgive and have mercy, we are following Christ's example because he sacrificed himself for all men's sins, and that shows he has mercy on us. If we make a mistake, we can repent, and God will forgive us if we have a pure heart and are willing to work to improve ourselves. As children of God, we have to include, love, and support one another. Listening to the words of the prophet and apostles can help us strive to live the gospel of Jesus Christ better. Kristen W., 18, Indiana, USA. Hobbies: photography, dance, art, fashion/beauty, writing, listen to music, being involved in church activities, and travel.
What they said. The Lord has made important adjustments in the way we care for each other. Sisters and brothers, old and young, will serve one another in a new, holier way. President Russell M. Nelson. True ministering is accomplished one by one, with love as the motivation. The value and merit and wonder of sincere ministering is that it truly changes lives. When our hearts are open and willing to love and include, encourage and comfort, the power of our ministering will be irresistible. With love as the motivation, miracles will happen. Sister Jean B. Bingham.
Doing his will. I am so grateful for General Conference. Every conference, I can feel the divine love of my Savior. I learn that I need to be obedient to God's commandments to receive his blessings and guidance. I know that service will lighten my burdens as I think of others rather than myself. As I become a true disciple of Christ, I can bless the lives of others with the light of Christ which is in me. I know that the things I have heard are true, and I am thankful to be a member of this church. Callie T., 13, Alberta, Canada. My hobbies are basketball, photography, hiking, cooking.
4. Take note of the Book of Mormon. As you listen to General Conference, did you notice any references to the Book of Mormon? What did the speaker say? Did their teachings affect the way you think about it? Is there anything you can do to strengthen your testimony of the Book of Mormon? You can start by making a Book of Mormon study plan. there are a few references to the Book of Mormon from Conference and what youth are doing on page 16. Testimonies and teachings about the Book of Mormon. I invite each of us to seek God and His beloved Son. Nowhere, President Nelson directed, are those truths taught more clearly and powerfully than in the Book of Mormon. October 2017 General Conference. Open its pages and learn that God does all things for our welfare and happiness. Helaman chapter 12, verse 2. That He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, long-suffering, and full of goodness. Lectures on Faith, 1985, Volume 42. And that all are alike unto Him. 2 Nephi, chapter 26, verse 33. When you feel hurt, lost, scared, upset, sad, hungry, or hopelessly abandoned in life's extremities, open the Book of Mormon, and you will come to know that God will never desert us. He never has, and He never will. He cannot do it. It is not His character to do so. Elder Brian K. Taylor of the 70. The definition of the church might be derived from a passage in the Book of Mormon that states, "And they," meaning the Lord's disciples, "who were baptized in the name of Jesus, were called the Church of Christ." 3 Nephi, chapter 26, verse 21. Bishop Gerald Cossé. The prophet Amulek declared, "This is the time to prepare to meet God." Alma chapter 34, verse 32. How do we prepare? By worthily receiving ordinances. Elder Taniela B. Wakolo of the 70.
My testimony of the Book of Mormon. I know the Book of Mormon is true, and that it testifies and proves that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ live. I know that Christ directed the prophets in the Book of Mormon and what to write to best help us in the latter days. I also know that the Holy Ghost testifies of truth, including the Book of Mormon. I know that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ live. Richard V., 15, Missouri, USA. My hobbies: sports. Though soccer is my favorite, I also love track, cross-country, and traveling with my family.
My Book of Mormon study plan. My plan is to read the Book of Mormon every night at 8 p.m. Like President Nelson recommended, I'm first going to pray. I will give thanks, express my feelings and gratitude, and pray for answers to my questions in the Book of Mormon. Then I will read, listen, and write down spiritual impressions I have. I've already tried my plan, and it works. I know that as we act on the prophet's teachings, we will come closer to God and be happier. Olivia T., 14, Hawaii, USA. My hobbies. I love to play the piano and alto saxophone, read, write, draw, play soccer, listen to classical music, and do family history.
5. We asked and you responded. Thank you for sharing your General Conference notes with us. Now's your chance to keep reviewing the things you felt and wrote over the next 6 months. And check out the new My Conference Experience series on youth.lds.org for more awesome testimonies from you. The Savior is right here beside us, always. Brigham P., 14, New York, USA. We are children of God. Kelby J., 15, Utah, USA. No temptation can make us as happy as the atonement of Christ. Ariel S., 18, Texas, USA. The Savior loves me and knows me by name. Leah P., 16, Alberta, Canada. What I learned. Don't be alarmed when revelation goes against what the world says. We need a spiritually guided life. Obey revelation, even when it's difficult. God speaks to his children. The Lord will assist us in all worthy pursuits. Olivia M., 17, Idaho, USA. Keep Christ in the center of our lives, and always remember him. He is the greatest gift. Alyssa H., 17, Wyoming, USA. Are we active in the gospel or just busy in the church? Hope J., 14, Utah, USA. There is peace in Christ. Brooklyn F., 12, Idaho, USA. Receiving personal revelation. 1. Find a quiet place. 2. Pour out your heart. 3. Listen to the Spirit. 4. Record your feelings. 5. Take action. Jolie F., 17, Mississippi, USA. Other contributors to We Asked and You Responded are Benjamin D., 16, Alberta, Canada. Gabriella R., 17, Utah, USA. Lilia B., 15, Brandenburg, Germany. Talia R., 15, California, USA. Molly M., 13, Arizona, USA. Laura A., 18, East Sussex, UK. Catherine L., 16, Minnesota, USA. Austin K., 18, Utah, USA. And Micah R., 14, Utah, USA. Tanea H., 18, Alberta, Canada. Sophia S., 15, Utah, USA. McKenna L., 13, California, USA. Rebecca J., 15, Virginia, USA. Lydia S., 15, Maryland, USA. Soy Mormona, y soy inmensamente feliz. Isadora O., 18, Valparaíso, Chile. The words of the prophets are true. Sophia S., 15, Utah, USA. True disciples love others. Ammon M., 12, Idaho, USA. Finding inspiration for your one more day. Elder Taylor G. Godoy said, "May we enjoy the peace and rejoicing that the sacrifice of the only begotten offers us. It is my prayer that we follow him, that we believe him, that we love him."
End of the article, 5 Ways to Learn from General Conference.
Messages for you. Leaders from the Young Women and Young Men organizations spoke in General Conference. Here are some of their messages. What every Aaronic priesthood holder needs to understand. In much the same way that angels are authorized messengers sent by God to declare His word and thereby build faith, we who hold the Aaronic priesthood have been ordained to teach and invite all to come unto Christ. DNC 20, verse 59. Young men, through your words and actions, you can bring faith in Christ to the hearts of God's children. Increased faith in Christ always leads to a desire to change or repent. As you study your Aaronic priesthood duties, you will see a clear charge to invite others to repent and improve. That does not mean we stand on a street corner shouting, "Repent ye!" More often it means that we repent, we forgive. And as we minister to others, we offer the hope and peace that repentance brings, because we have experienced it ourselves. The Aaronic priesthood ordinances of baptism and the sacrament witness and complete our repentance for a remission of sins. The Aaronic priesthood with the keys of the ministering of angels and the preparatory gospel prepares the way for God's children to receive, through the Melchizedek priesthood, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the greatest gift we can receive in this life. Young men, God has a work for you to do. Your Aaronic priesthood ordination is central to helping his children receive Christ's atoning power. I promise as you put these sacred duties at the center of your life, you will feel the power of God as never before. You will understand your identity as a son of God, called with a holy calling to do his work. And like John the Baptist, you will help prepare the way for the coming of his son. Douglas D. Holmes, First Counselor in the Young Men General Presidency. Dad looked me in the eyes and said, "You have strong hands, son. I hope your hands always have the strength to never touch a young lady inappropriately." Devin G. Durant, First Counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. Young Women in the Work. The young women of the church are equally needed and essential in accomplishing the work of the Lord in their families and in His church. Each person has something important to contribute and has unique talents and abilities that help move this important work along. Young women have something to contribute in all areas of this work. Every young woman in the church should feel valued, have opportunities to serve, and feel that she has something of worth to contribute to this work. To you, the young women of the church, your teenage years can be busy and often challenging. We have noticed that many more of you are struggling with issues of self-worth, anxiety, high levels of stress, and perhaps even depression. Turning your thoughts outward instead of dwelling on your own problems may not resolve all of these issues, but service can often lighten your burdens and make your challenges seem less hard. One of the best ways to increase feelings of self-worth is to show, through our concern and service to others, that we have much of worth to contribute. I encourage you young women to raise your hands, to volunteer, and to put those hands to work when you see needs around you. As you fulfill your covenant responsibilities and participate in building the kingdom of God, blessings will flow into your life and you'll discover the deep and lasting joy of discipleship. The work of our Heavenly Father is to bring about the immortality and eternal life of His children. Our precious young women have an important role to play in helping to accomplish this great work. Bonnie L. Oscarson, former Young Women General President. The New Young Women General Presidency. A New Young Women General Presidency was sustained on March 31, 2017. For the second time in a year, a counselor from the primary general presidency was called to serve as president of another organization. A year ago, Sister Jean B. Bingham was sustained as Relief Society General President. This year, Sister Bonnie H. Corden was sustained as Young Women General President. Sister Bonnie H. Corden, President. Sister Bonnie H. Corden was serving as the first counselor in the primary general presidency when she was called to serve as the Young Women General President. She served a mission in Portugal and served with her husband when he presided over a mission in Brazil. They have four children. Sister Corden earned a degree in education and worked in management in the software industry. Sister Michelle D. Craig, First Counselor. Sister Michelle D. Craig was serving as a member of the primary general board when she was called to serve as the first counselor in the Young Women General Presidency. She served a mission in the Dominican Republic. She earned a degree in elementary education from Brigham Young University. She and her husband have three children. Sister Becky Craven, Second Counselor. Sister Becky Craven was 4 years old when her parents joined the church while serving in the U.S. Army at Fort Bliss in Texas, USA. She earned a degree in interior design from Brigham Young University. She served in North Carolina, USA with her husband when he presided over a mission there. They have five children and 18 grandchildren. End of the article, Messages for You. Read by Scott Christopher.
Games and Activities. A Puzzle with Heart. President Russell M. Nelson. 1. Announced 7 new temples during April 2018 General Conference. 2. Has studied Mandarin, the language of China. And 3. Was a heart surgeon. Can you solve this 7-piece puzzle known as a tangram, invented in China, by arranging the pieces in the shape of the heart on page 22? Cut out the colored pieces or trace and cut them and start arranging. Hint, the parallelogram may be flipped over. Conference Hink Pinks. A hink pink is a pair of words that A, rhyme, B, have the same number of syllables, and C, answer a riddle. These ones are kind of related to general conference. Example, someone eating a big meal on the day when we celebrate the resurrection. Easter Feaster. 1. A woman speaking in conference who gives 5 things to remember. 2. A person who provides food for a conference speaker. 3. A podium where people drink a glass of water as fast as they can. 4. A general authority who joins metal pieces together with a torch. 5. The 2 people chosen to give the invocation and benediction. 6. A conference address that uses a parable about a boulder and a pebble. 7. A place where the 12 can freely express their ideas. 8. Doctrine so powerful it removes the color from people's hair. 9. A story that symbolically teaches a truth printed on an item of clothing. 10. A more humble talk giver. Bonus, the less vibrant hue of the neckwear I own. 2 times bonus, a message stuck to one's snout after a sighted passage. In our games and activities cartoon, a family has decided to pitch a tent in front of their TV. One of their sons, while holding a roasting stick with marshmallows on the top, enthusiastically says, "Setting up a tent for General Conference is the best idea ever! Now, where can I roast these?" End of Games and Activities. Read by Charlene Stewart.
News from General Conference. 7 new temples were announced in Salta, Argentina, Bengaluru, India, Managua, Nicaragua, Cagayan de Oro, Philippines, Layton, Utah, Richmond, Virginia, and a major city to be determined in Russia. 3 scriptures cited most during this conference: Mosiah chapter 18, verse 9, Doctrine and Covenants section 84, verse 20, Moses chapter 1, verse 39. Fun fact: all 3 of these scriptures are seminary doctrinal mastery verses. The number of messages President Russell M. Nelson has shared in General Conference was 74. There are currently 103,221 missionaries serving. Of those, 67,049 are full-time and 36,172 are church service missions. There are 421 missions around the world. 14 is the age when both young men and young women can now participate in ministering opportunities. Melchizedek priesthood holders will now serve together in 1 elders' quorum. There are 16,118,169 members of the church worldwide. 2 new apostles were sustained. The first Asian American and Latin American called to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Elder Garrett W. Gong was born in California, USA on December 23, 1953. He served in the Taiwan-Taipei mission. He graduated from Brigham Young University and later earned degrees from Oxford University. Elder Gong worked in international relations, including at the U.S. Embassy in China. He also worked at BYU as assistant to the president for planning and assessment. He and his wife, Susan Lindsay, were married in January 1980. They have 4 children and 3 grandchildren. Elder Ulysses Soares was born in Sao Paulo, Brazil on October 2, 1958. He served in the Brazil Rio de Janeiro mission. He graduated from the Sao Paulo Pontifical Catholic University School of Economic Science and later earned a Master of Business Administration. He worked as an accountant and auditor for multinational corporations and for the church. He and his wife, Rosanna Fernandez, were married in October 1982. They have three children and three grandchildren. End of News from General Conference. Read by Van Farnworth.
Mormon Ads by Richard M. Romney, Church Magazines. These powerful posters offer hope along life's highway, and they can inspire you to create your own messages of joy, courage, and commitment. Maybe you've noticed it while you're riding down the freeway. Certain billboards flash by forgettably. Others entice you to read, but you can't get through the words fast enough before they, too, are gone. The best ones grab your attention, share their message quickly, and linger in your mind. Now, picture yourself riding down the highway of life. As a young Latter-day Saint, you have a great opportunity to see some memorable messages along the way. They're called Mormon ads, and they do exactly what those great billboards do. Capture your interest instantly and offer a gospel insight that remains in your memory. A powerful pairing. Professional communicators know that when you combine a powerful visual with memorable text, people pay attention. The power of a Mormon ad is that when you see it, a gospel principle becomes immediately crystal clear. In today's world of memes, picture quotes, snaps, and tweets, Mormon ads can inspire you as you combine words and images to understand and explain the gospel. You may want to share them, or even create your own to share, via social media. On the following pages, you'll find some that the New Era staff remember from their own journeys, along with some fun insights about how and why they work. For a detailed timeline of Mormon ads through the years, go to page 28 of this issue. The classics. Great ideas and images working together stand the test of time. Memorable Mormon ads, powerful when they were first published, still make us stop and think today. They quickly convey enduring gospel principles and values. Mormon ads, behind the scenes. 1. Embark. A number of Mormon ads, like this one, were inspired by annual mutual themes. See DNC 4, verse 2. See a poster tied to this year's mutual theme in the January issue. 2. Be your own kind of beautiful. The original idea was to have a single lily among a vase of roses, but a lily seemed too elegant to convey the intended message. A daisy was better, a symbol of the beauty in the ordinary. 3. Gossip. Don't pass it on. Models for this photo came dressed in their Sunday best, only to be asked to roll up their sleeves and be careful passing, hand to hand, gauze that had been drenched in used motor oil mixed with oatmeal. 4. Stay on your toes. The photographer spent hours drilling holes and driving nails into boards. Then, leaning on parallel bars unseen in the photo, the dancer went on point. Boards were slid next to her feet, and the photo was taken. 5. You can conquer giant problems. Blending two photos of different scales brought a ready answer to the question, how does the Old Testament story of David and Goliath apply to you today? 6. Family photo. This Mormon ad demonstrates how words and images combine to convey the powerful message that we are all children of the same Heavenly Father. 7. Faith works. Color adds power to a visual. In this case, a staff member's father-in-law let the magazine paint his old gray fishing boat with a new, vibrant color. The family still calls it the banana boat. 8. This is the place. Many Mormon ads guide us to the temple. They remind us that in the house of the Lord, we are able to accurately envision eternity. 9. Rise above the blues. At first, the text said, rise above it all, and the balloons were many different colors. Then someone said, what if all of the balloons were blue except one? And the rest is history. 10. You're covered. Each person in the photo was raised up in a harness and photographed. Then the photos were digitally blended to create this image with a message about family members helping each other to weather the storms of life. 11. frogs and princes. The leaves were plastic, but the frog was real, and it was hard to get him to sit still until photographers lowered the temperature. Cold-blooded creatures move more slowly when it's cold. The crown is also real, held in place with petroleum jelly. 12. You are never alone. That phrase just came into my mind, says the man who thought of this poster. The simple, direct message became one of the most widely distributed Mormon ads ever. More Mormon ads have been about the Savior Jesus Christ than any other subject. 442. We counted 442 Mormon ads that have been published over the years. But more are on the way, so look for them in each new era. 7 tips for making memorable messages. Successful communicators know that a powerful visual matched with just the right phrase can influence people. When you use this method to convey a message that the Holy Ghost can testify of, it's an even more powerful kind of communication. That's the vision behind Mormon ads. How can you pair text, visuals, and the Spirit as you create your own Mormon ads, memes, posts, and other messages to promote righteousness? Here are some tips to get started. 1. Sometimes ideas will just pop into your head. Trust your inspiration. Brainstorm and keep notes. You can work on details later. 2. Words and pictures should strengthen and reinforce each other to teach a gospel truth and invite the Spirit. Sometimes the words inspire the picture. Sometimes the picture inspires the words. 3. The most memorable messages are short and simple. Imagine your message as a billboard. Could you understand it as you drive past? 4. Visual elements also need to convey meaning quickly. They shouldn't require explanation. 5. Listen to suggestions. You may discover genius in collaboration. 6. Don't be afraid to offer a delightful surprise. Something unexpected can make people stop and think. For example, the Sacred Grove poster was printed in landscape, not portrait. That simple change got people to say, "What's this?" 7. Take time to make it right. Sometimes an idea can take a long time to germinate. Let it rest if you can, then come back when you're refreshed. Make your own, then send us your best. Making your own Mormon ads, individually or as a group, is a great way to think about and share gospel principles. It can be a fun lesson or a great family home evening activity. And remember, we're always looking for great Mormon ad ideas. Share them with us at newera.lds.org. End of the article, Mormon Ads, by Richard W. Romney. Read by Scott Christopher.
Giving my worries to God. When I found out my friend was having serious struggles, I struggled to find peace. By Ninoska Narath. When my friend Fernanda, not her real name, didn't show up to class one Friday, I wondered what was wrong. Is Fair feeling sick? Is she okay? I asked as I ran over to some friends at the end of the day. She isn't sick, another friend answered. She just had to go to a psychologist. When I asked why, she told me that Fernanda was suffering from depression and had been hurting herself. Shortly after I found out, Fernanda was admitted to the hospital for treatment, and we didn't see her for a few weeks. Even though we were friends, she hadn't shared that part of her life with me. She had been hiding it from everyone because she was ashamed. She later told me that she didn't want others to pity her or her situation. But I didn't pity her. I just felt compassion. That first day, I lay on my bed after school, my face buried in a pillow. I was emotionally exhausted, but too anxious to sleep. My world was in chaos. I felt like I was in the middle of a storm, and so many thoughts and feelings whirled in the wind. I felt confused, lonely, and most of all, so powerless to help. How could I help? What could I do or say to help her? How could we as friends pull together and lend our support? I couldn't find any sort of solution to comfort my friends or myself. I prayed for inspiration, but felt like my prayers just weren't getting answered. But the next week, I had an epiphany. I was sitting in my early morning seminary class when my teacher reminded us of the first vision and how Joseph Smith asked Heavenly Father directly for help with his difficulties and concerns. My teacher then said, If we seek out the Father and ask Him, He will answer us. We will never be alone. I realized that in my sadness, I had closed my heart off to my Heavenly Father. Even though I was trying to pray often, it wasn't enough. I still had too much fear to find peace. I knew that He understood exactly how I felt and that He could help me. But I needed to open myself up to Him and truly trust that He could do it. I needed to exercise faith. So I did. Over time, as I continued to pray and read my scriptures, striving to let the Savior take my burdens, I came to understand that eventually my friend's depression would end. Despite the fact that the external chaos continued, I felt calm, balanced, in harmony. My mother kept encouraging me to seek out peace, saying, "Your friend will be okay, and so will you. Stay strong in the gospel, and it will all work out." Supporting my friend. When Fernanda finally came back to school, I was able to provide strong support for her, but only because I had sought out and found peace through Jesus Christ myself. I tried my best to be a good listener, to be positive, and to share the gospel. I felt confident when I explained the plan of happiness and when I told her that our Father wants us to find joy, despite our challenges. It may take time, but it is possible for every one of His children. There have been many situations in my life in which I have felt anguish and sadness, but because of the gospel, I always remember where I come from. I know that I am a daughter of God and that He has a plan for me and for Fernanda. We all walk distinct paths, but each is for our good because He loves us. Each path, each trial has a purpose. And if we can find peace in those trials, we can share the peace we gain with others. The author lives in Maule, Chile.
Depression. How to respond. If you have a friend who suffers from depression, make a special effort to listen to and be supportive of them in their trials. They need your love. Ask your parents for advice. Make sure your friend's parents are aware, even if your friend doesn't want them to be, and ask for their advice on how you can help. If the situation is severe, like hurting themselves, and their parents are aware but doing nothing, tell a school teacher, school counselor, or church leader. End of the article, Giving My Worries to God, read by Chloe Hopper and Wes Nelson.
A Cowboy's Conversion by Cody Roundtree. When I was in the eighth grade, I competed in miniature bull riding in the Idaho Junior Rodeo Association. The whole year, I battled back and forth for first place with a boy named Spencer. One week, I would be in first place, and the next week, he would be. At the last rodeo of the year, Spencer pulled ahead of me, but just barely. To win, all I had to do was ride a little bit better. I came out of the chute and was riding great. Then, right before the buzzer, I bucked off. That was it. Spencer was the new champion. After the rodeo, I noticed him praying behind the chutes where he thought no one could see him. He was my greatest rival, but I wanted to be nice, so I went over and congratulated him, and he told me he appreciated the kind words. We started talking about our dreams of being world champions. I got to thinking he was a pretty cool guy. From that day on, we were best friends, and every summer after that, we always did things together. However, during my freshman and sophomore years of high school, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. My new friends and I thought it was better to drink and fight instead of going to school, and I failed a lot of my classes. At the end of my sophomore year, the high school principal told me it would be best if I didn't come back to school. I called Spencer and told him what had happened. Without missing a beat, he said to come to his high school. He lived in a town about 35 miles away. After talking it over with my mom, I accepted Spencer's family's invitation and moved in with them. That turned out great because I was able to make up all the classes I had failed and graduate on time, and we were able to continue doing rodeo. Spencer's family were also members of the church. That made me nervous because I had been taught my whole life that if I walked inside an LDS church, I would see fire and go straight to hell. But Spencer and other Mormons were really nice to me, and I felt comfortable around them. So even though I was pretty scared of the church, I went to church with them a few times and met a lot of other good people. Their kindness helped soften my heart. One of my new friends, Rick, was a member of the church too. The night before he left on his mission, I told him I was feeling frustrated.
I couldn't go into the military, I didn't want to go to college, and I didn't know what to do. He looked right at me and said, "You should go on a mission like me." That statement hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, "All right, I'll go on a mission." He laughed and said, "Well, you have to be a member of the church first." I met with the missionaries with Spencer's family after Rick left for his mission. 6 weeks later, Spencer baptized me. I was almost 19 years old. Still, things weren't perfect after that. Most of my family was not happy that I joined the church. My dad even offered me a brand new pickup truck if I would just forget about it. But my brother Roger supported me. When I told him I wanted to serve a mission, he told me to give it 110%. Whether I was serving a mission or not, he told me to always do my best. I tried to prepare the best I could by studying the scriptures, praying, and going to a mission prep class. While I was on my mission in North Carolina, I lost myself in the work and did my best to follow Roger's advice to give it 110%. 10 years later, I lost my dad to cancer. Even though he and I had hard times, I love him so much. As I leaned down to hug him and say, "I love you," one last time, he said something I will never forget. He told me he was proud of me and that he was glad I served a mission. 2 years later, Spencer got to baptize me for my father in the temple. My family may not have approved of my joining the church, but because of their unfailing love and the example of my friends and their families, I was able to serve a mission, be married in the temple, and help my dad after he passed on. I am grateful to be a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The author lives in Idaho, USA. End of the story, A Cowboy's Conversion, read by Casey Wayman.
Turnarounds from the Scriptures by David Dixon, Church Magazines. When your best efforts don't immediately work out the way you hoped, you're in good company. Have you ever given your absolute best to accomplish something but still come up short? You aren't alone. The Scriptures are full of inspiring people who had to learn the hard way that life is rarely a smooth ride. At the same time, it's also worth pushing past the speed bumps. Here are a few examples from the Scriptures worth considering when you need a little encouragement. 1. Nephi and the Brass Plates. The stakes couldn't have been much higher. The fate of an entire nation was on the line. If Nephi and his brothers didn't bring back the brass plates from Laban, an entire nation would dwindle and perish in unbelief. A whole nation. All of those people depending on one errand. You might think that with such high stakes, mighty miracles would open up a clear path to success. As you may have read, the way forward turned out to be anything but clear. Despite their best efforts, Nephi and his brothers failed not once, but twice. The second failure was particularly devastating. They lost all their worldly riches and were nearly killed by Laban's servants. After the second attempt, Nephi and Sam were beaten by their older brothers. Soon after, Nephi was ready to make a third attempt. This time he went alone, led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things which he should do. Only on this third attempt, while listening closely to the Spirit, did he succeed. 2. Peter and the Road to Faith. The New Testament is full of examples of devoted followers of Jesus Christ having to learn as they go. For example, the Apostle Peter walked on water briefly until doubt crept in and he began to sink. But Peter's faith didn't waver like that forever. He learned and grew, ultimately performing many miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. One miracle happened after Jesus' resurrection when Peter saw a lame beggar outside a temple. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter, the same man who had sunk into the water when his faith faltered, grabbed the hand of the lame beggar with full faith that he'd be able to walk. The man rose, walked, and leaped for joy, praising God. 3. Samuel and the Wall. When Samuel the Lamanite came to Zarahemla, he had a message from God to share, and he worked hard at doing so. The Scriptures say he preached repentance for many days to the wicked Nephites.
And how did the people respond? They ran him out of town. Samuel had done all he could and was about to return to his own land when the Spirit told him to try again. He didn't exactly receive a warm welcome. The citizens refused to let Samuel back into the city. Next step, he climbed on the city wall to deliver his message anew. The disbelievers were so determined to stop Samuel that they threw stones and shot arrows at him. Artists, primary programs, and family home evening enactments alike all delight in portraying the miracle of Samuel's protection. Guess what, Mom and Dad? The arrows couldn't hit him. The truth is, we have no way of knowing whether Samuel was assured ahead of time that he'd be protected. We know only that he followed the commandment to try again despite the challenges. As a result, many people were converted and baptized. 4. Joseph of Egypt and the redirected life. Few figures in the scriptures are a better example of optimistic persistence through setbacks than Joseph of Egypt. You can read his story in depth in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. For now, here are a couple highlights. 17-year-old Joseph tells his older brothers, who already hated him, about a dream he had, where one day he'd rule over them. Their punishment of him was swift and brutal. They faked Joseph's death and sold him into slavery. He then became a favored servant in the house of Potiphar, until Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. When Joseph resisted, she lied about him to her husband. Now in jail for his supposed crimes, Joseph gained the trust of the jailer and was given charge of all the prisoners. Though innocent, he remained in prison for 2 years until he had a chance to help Pharaoh interpret a dream. Here at last, his luck changed. But at age 30, some quick math reveals that Joseph spent 13 years, or roughly 43% of his life to that point, as a slave or prisoner when he had done nothing wrong. But oh, what happened next as a result of his continued faith and persistence? Pharaoh was so impressed with Joseph that he made him second in command over all of Egypt. Because of Joseph's position, he was later able to help save many people, including many from other countries, among them his whole family, from starvation. 5. Martin Harris and the chance to testify. Some people think immediately of the lost 116 manuscript pages whenever they hear the name Martin Harris. After all, he pressed Joseph time and again to ask God if Martin could show the pages to his family. But Martin's story doesn't end there. Martin repented and continued supporting the prophet Joseph, including financing the original publication of the Book of Mormon. President Dallin H. Oaks described that single act as one of Martin Harris's greatest contributions to the church, for which he should be honored for all time. His story continues. Martin was chosen as one of the three special witnesses of the Book of Mormon. Yet even with this experience, which took place after the 116 pages were lost, Martin had to overcome failure. To set the scene, Joseph Smith entered the woods with Martin Harris, David Whitmer, and Oliver Cowdery. They were acting on revelation that the time had come for witnesses to see the sacred plates. Each man took turns praying to be shown the plates. Nothing happened. They each prayed again. Still nothing. Joseph Smith wrote, "Upon this, our second failure, Martin Harris proposed that he should withdraw himself from us, believing, as he expressed himself, that his presence was the cause of our not obtaining what we wished for." Sure enough, not long after Martin left, the angel Moroni appeared and revealed the plates to David Whitmer and Oliver Cowdery. But if you read the testimony of the three witnesses, you'll see Martin's name right alongside the other two. How so? Because Martin didn't give up. He retreated further into the woods and kept praying. When Joseph found him later, Martin pleaded with Joseph to pray with him again. This time, Martin's faith was rewarded with the same vision the others had. "'Tis enough, 'tis enough. Mine eyes have beheld," Martin said. Though Martin Harris faded in and out of church activity in the later years, finally fully returning to the church community at age 87, he never once faded in his testimony of the Book of Mormon, nor what he had witnessed in the woods. Try and try again. A pattern seems to float to the surface after studying these and other similar scriptural accounts. Plain and simple, many of life's setbacks seem to work out in the long run. Failing once or even multiple times at something often doesn't determine the final outcome, as long as you stay faithful to God and His commandments and keep on trying. So, keep on trying. The best is yet to come. End of the article, Turnarounds from the Scriptures, read by Wes Nelson.
Life prep. Get ready for your future. Are you feeling it? Having the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost is amazing, but one of the things we all have to learn is how to feel and recognize the Spirit's influence, guidance, and inspiration in our lives. We start, of course, with being worthy to feel the Spirit. What comes next depends on you. Try it out. 1. Read the Book of Mormon every day, as President Thomas S. Monson challenged us to do. 2. Obey God's commandments. 3. Keep your lamp full of oil. See Matthew chapter 25. Use this activity to help you be aware of the level of oil in your lamp. Object lesson time. 1. Grab an empty jar and some unpopped popcorn seeds or something else you can scoop. 2. Each time you read scriptures, attend church, go to the temple, or live another gospel principle, add a scoop to the jar. It can fill up fast. Seeking spiritual guidance. What does that look like? Well, there are patterns we can follow. Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles taught us that as we seek the guidance of the Holy Ghost, and as we honor our covenants and keep the commandments, as we strive ever more consistently to do good and to become better, we can walk with the confidence that God will guide our steps. April 2011 General Conference. The prophet Alma gave us another way to think about this when he compared faith to planting a seed and then helping it grow. See Alma 32. Doing the daily, consistent acts of faith, such as reading scriptures and sincerely praying, are how you water and nourish your spiritual tree. End of this month's Life Prep. Read by Eden Reinwand.
Who knew? Church facts, news, and trends. Let's celebrate. Many countries around the world have a day to celebrate mothers. Here's when Mother's Day is in a few different countries. United States, the second Sunday in May. United Kingdom, 3 weeks before Easter Sunday. Thailand, August 12th. Costa Rica, August 15th. Mexico, May 10th. A mother's love. No love in mortality comes closer to approximating the pure love of Jesus Christ than the selfless love a devoted mother has for her child. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, October 2015 General Conference. Temple Twins. Both of these temples were dedicated on May 31st, 2000. The Villahermosa, Mexico Temple. The Nashville, Tennessee Temple. Happy 85th birthday. President Henry B. Eyring's birthday is on May 31st. Unexpected reference. Pizza party. Did you know pizza has been mentioned in at least 5 different General Conference messages throughout the years? Here's the list of those conference messages. Elder Raphael E. Pino, The Eternal Perspective of the Gospel, April 2015 General Conference. Sister Rosemary M. Wixom, The Words We Speak, April 2013 General Conference. Sister Bonnie D. Parkin, Choosing Charity, That Good Part, October 2003 General Conference. President M. Russell Ballard, We Proclaim the Gospel, October 1986 General Conference. Brother Peter Widmar, Pursuing Excellence, April 1985 General Conference. Mutual Idea. Have a pizza party and watch one or more of these messages. Discuss what you learned from or felt about the message and enjoy the pizza. End of the article, Who Knew? Read by Shauna Thompson.
Firm Foundations. The Lost Melody. I was taking photos during a family vacation when a beautiful melody popped into my mind. I love music and composing, so I quickly hummed the song into my camera to remember and work on it later. That afternoon, I was looking through the cool photos on my camera. I decided to check out how much memory my camera had left. It was 67% full. I clicked OK, not realizing I had just said OK to reformatting my memory card. In a matter of seconds, all my photos and my recording were erased. I was sad about losing the pictures, but I was especially sad about losing the melody. I tried telling myself it would be okay, but I was devastated. That night, I prayed that the photos and melody could be retrieved. After returning from the vacation, I kept tinkering with the camera, and most of the pictures finally appeared. I was overjoyed. It felt like a direct answer to my prayers. However, I was crushed when I couldn't find the recording of the melody. I kept praying and hoping that the song would come back. Many weeks later, as I was doing chores, a strangely familiar melody came into my head. It was the song! I couldn't believe it! I quickly recorded it on the piano. I have no doubt Heavenly Father answered my prayer. It was something so small, but He answered. I know He can bring hope into our lives when all seems lost. Benjamin G., Utah, USA. Sidebar: how can I find hope? 1. Anchor your faith in God. His light will lead you to truth and happiness. See Ether chapter 12, verse 4. 2. Turn to Christ. He loves you. Your weaknesses can be overcome through Christ's redeeming power. See Ether chapter 3, verse 14. 3. Look for the good. Be grateful for all of the wonderful blessings God has already given you. See Alma chapter 37, verse 37. 4. Serve and love others. Your heart will be filled with compassion and the light of Christ as you seek to help those around you. See Moroni chapter 7, verse 47.
President Boyd K. Packer said, "A testimony of the hope of redemption is something which cannot be measured or counted. Jesus Christ is the source of that hope." President Boyd K. Packer, President of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, October 2014 General Conference.
I felt my Savior's love. A few years ago, my family and I moved. It was hard, but I tried my best to adjust. However, after getting in a car crash 2 weeks later and receiving a concussion and several injuries on my face, I was miserable. Because of the concussion, I couldn't go to school for 3 weeks. I felt so alone. I remember praying and asking Heavenly Father why this had to happen when I already felt so alone after moving. Then one day, my dad told me that my Savior would never leave me alone. After hearing that, I prayed and asked Heavenly Father to forgive me for my anger. I read my scriptures and tried to understand His plan for me. Soon after that, people from my new school, ward, and seminary class visited me with cards, flowers, and Reese's peanut butter cups, my favorite. I felt my Savior's love through them, and they hardly even knew me. I know that Jesus Christ is always there for us. He provides peace and listens to our prayers. He knows us, and He knows what will help us grow. Holland S., Washington, USA.
Finding my family. When I was 14, I was called to be a family history youth consultant. My family history class during Sunday school inspired me to find my great-grandfather's parents on my mom's side. Every Sunday, I did a little more work, going through records and searching for connections to my great-great-grandfather, William Aldred Thomas. But after a year, with no results, I felt discouraged. I wanted to give up. But then, one afternoon, I felt a distinct prompting to search for Francina Christina Meyer, his wife. Several records came up that confirmed a connection to my great-great-grandparents. I was so happy. I'd finally found my family. My home was full of indescribable joy. More names connected to the Thomas line were found, and my brother and I have been baptized and confirmed for 5 generations of that line, all because of perseverance and a single special prompting. This experience has been a tremendous blessing and testimony to me of the importance of family history work. I know that our family members on the other side will help us find them and that this work truly brings light into our lives. Savannah B., Alberta, Canada.
End of this month's Firm Foundations. Read by Van Farnworth, Chloe Hopper, Eden Reinwand, and Wes Nelson.
Frightened Villager Number 4, illustrated by Scott Gwynn. Victoria is sitting in her room texting when her little sister Annie comes rushing in.
Guess what? I'm trying out for the school play.
Victoria says,
The Dragon's Curse?
Cool!
Need help practicing?
Victoria helps Annie practice her audition. After a lot of work, Victoria says,
Perfect! You're gonna rock the audition!
The next day, while eating lunch, Victoria sees Annie come into the kitchen, looking downhearted.
How did it go?
I got Frightened Villager Number 4.
That's awesome! We should celebrate!
Soon, the whole family is gathered at a restaurant, and they raise a glass of limeade to Annie.
To Frightened Villager Number 4.
Strengthen your relationships with your brothers and sisters. They can become your closest friends. Support them in their interests and help them with the challenges they may be facing. For the Strength of Youth, 2011, page 15.
End of the comic, Frightened Villager Number 4. Read by Shauna Thompson, Salem Tullis, Chloe Hopper, Charlene Stewart, and Van Farnworth.